This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Well, this morning, I get the opportunity to preach at you a little bit. I'm John Huseman. I'm the student ministry pastor here at the Ark Church. And what we're going to talk about this morning is how to stand strong in the middle of a storm. Okay, a storm is something that's happening right now in your life that you don't want it to be happening, but it is happening. But you don't want it to be happening, but it's there, it's lingering, it's going on. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at the life of Jesus and kind of how did he get through a storm and some of the things that he did to get through a storm. But before we get to Jesus, we're going to take a look at Everybody Loves Raymond. Okay, there. I thought it would be appropriate, but I think you'll enjoy this little clip here from Everybody Loves Raymond.
No, we do have counselors. Father Hubley is very good.
No, that's the last thing that we need.
Why do you say that?
Because then everybody's talking about
Look,
it.
Look, why do you have to be so close-minded? You see, this is the attitude.
I'm not close-minded.
Ugh, what are you doing right now? This is who you are. Why can't you just talk about things, huh? Talk! You know, I have to say that you're actually exhibiting some of the very traits that seem to jump off the page in Michael's book. Who? You. Wait a minute. First of all, it's not a book. It's pieces of construction paper.
You sound a bit close-minded.
Hey. Eileen, you have no idea what I have to put up with. When I got married, I didn't just get a husband. I got a whole freak show that set up their tent right across the street. And that would be fine if they stayed there. But every day, they dump a truckload of their insane family dreck into my lap. How would you like to sit through two people in their 60s fighting over who invented the lawn? The lawn! And then the brother.
I live in an apartment. I don't even have a lawn. Raymond has a lawn.
But you can't blame him when you see who the mother is. She has this kind of sick hold on the both of them. And the father's about as disgusting a creature as God has ever dropped on this planet. So no wonder the kid writes stories. I should be writing stories. My life is a gothic novel. And until you have lived in that house with all of them in there with you day after day, week after week, year after friggin' year, you are in no position to judge me.
All right, so Deborah is in a storm right there. Now hopefully none of us are in that big of a storm. But I think it's important to know, like, as you're in a storm, as you're going into a storm, whether it's something in, you know, your finances, whether it's in your family, whether it's something with your kids or your teenagers. Well, I mean, teenagers are like a continual, you know, storm. But as you're looking at it, I think it's important to know, like, there's a certain mindset that you can have even as you're approaching a storm. And I was trying to think back of, okay, when was a time in my life that I had a really strong mindset? And for me, when I was playing high school football, we had this Hall of Fame coach, and he was unbelievable. And he would brainwash us into believing that we were going to win no matter what. I mean, we were a team that we got to the state championship game and lost my sophomore year, and then we won the state championship two other times. We were the number one ranked team in 5A most of my high school career, and our coach had this way of making us believe that we were always going to win. And we would watch film, and he would break down the other team and show us how bad they were and how we would dominate them and how they had no chance against us. And then we would practice that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday night would come, and we would do exactly what we had been brainwashed to do. We would win. And as Christians, I think there is a mindset that we can have that God has told man after man after man, all the way through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. And Joshua is about to go into battle, okay? Joshua has taken the Israelites. Moses is gone. Joshua is the new guy. And he's about to do battle after battle after battle. And God says to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God is telling him, hey, this is what I want you to do. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians and he says, hey, finally, brothers, I am strong in the Lord by the working of his mighty strength. I am strong in the Lord, and it is by the working of his mighty strength inside of me. And Jesus speaks to us and he says, hey, in this world, there's gonna be troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart, be strong. I am right there with you. I can overcome. So we're gonna look at a text today where Jesus is going in a storm, and it's in Mark chapter 4, and Jesus is kind of speaking to a multitude of people. But I think it's important to know, if you flip the page, there's Mark chapter 5. And in Mark 5, Jesus delivers this demon-possessed guy. Jesus raises this girl from the dead. It's Jairus' daughter. Like, there's stuff going on in chapter 5. And if you are feeling like what's happening right now in your life is such a massive storm that there's no way that you can get through it, I want you to hear me say, God has a plan for you in the next chapter. He has things he wants you to do in the next chapter. Like, he has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a way out. And no storm, no matter how big it is, how scary it is, how massive it seems, there's no storm that is the final word. God has the final word in your life, and there is something good that's gonna happen in the next chapter, in the next season. God has something good for all of us. So let's take a look at Mark 4. We're gonna start in verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, that's powerful, right? Because there is two different reactions to the same exact situation. Now, this happens in my marriage all the time. Usually when I'm driving, this is when this happens, and it just happened. We're on the same road in the same car, and there's two different reactions. I'm very calm. I am accelerating. I am going into turns. My wife is looking for the brake. She is not calm. She is panicked. I'm acting like our minivan is a Corvette, and I am going around these turns, and I'm into it. And she is over here trying to do, right? So there's two totally different reactions to the same situation. And this is what's happening with Jesus and the disciples. Jesus is asleep on a pillow. I think that is hilarious. He is asleep on a pillow. The disciples are having the biggest panic attack of their life. Like, they are going crazy, thinking they're gonna die, saying, "Jesus, where are you? What's going on?" And it's important for us to understand, in a storm, there's not one mentality or reaction or mindset that we all have to have. Sometimes we think, oh man, when this massive thing is happening in your life, you need to freak out. You need to be depressed. You need to panic. That's not what Jesus was doing. This massive storm is all around Jesus. He is calm. He is peaceful. He is right there. Like, he's not moved by that. And I want to read what fear defined looks like and what fear is. It says this: fear causes feelings of dread, apprehension, anxiety. When you're afraid, you're fearful. Fear brings to mind all the bad things that could happen. Fear inhibits progress, and it cripples movement. If you've ever had a child that's afraid of the dark, and they're sitting there and they think something is in their room, and they take their covers and they pull their covers up over their eyes. I used to do this all the time. Somehow the covers will protect you, right? So they are pulling the covers, but they're paralyzed. They cannot move, they can't run, they can't, like, that's what fear does in our life. But there's another mentality, and that's a faith mentality. And here's what faith says. Faith is a strong belief in someone or something. Faith shows complete trust. Faith believes even when it can't see. You see, faith anticipates good things will happen. Faith trusts even when it doesn't necessarily seem right to trust. Faith is what overcomes fear. Now, when I was in high school, my biggest nemesis was not another person. My biggest nemesis was our garage. And I had the scariest garage in the world. Now, I also had a father that believed if you ever left any light on, that was like taking money and throwing it down the toilet. So no lights could ever be on, not even at night, not even like outside your house. Like, no, that's wasted money. So my house, you come into my house and you have the front porch totally pitch black. You have our two-car garage that has like a little work bench behind one of the stalls. And then you have this tree that kind of like hangs over. Now, I live in Kansas. I grew up in Kansas. It's windy all the time, nonstop wind. And my mom thought it'd be cute to have these like wind chimes on the front porch. So I'd earned the trust of my parents where they let me come in kind of whenever I wanted to. And I knew if I woke them up, that would be more trouble than me like dealing with this situation. So I have to park on the street. So I'm pulling my car up to the street. I open the garage door and you think, well, doesn't the light come on your garage door opener? Yes, of course. That's a great thought. I wish you would have told me that like 15 years ago, but no, that light was broke. Did you fix it? No. I'm stupid. I'm a teenager, right? I mean, your mind has not developed to normalcy when you're a teenager. So I deal with the same issue over and over and over again. Well, again, why don't you just, you know, take your cell phone and, you know, put your little flashlight on your cell phone on? There was a time way back when we used to like use cell phones to call people. There was no internet on there. There was no photos. There was no camera. There was no flashlight. There was no like get out of jail free. I mean, it was just a phone. So I'm having this issue like time after time after time. And I'm thinking to myself, there's bad guys somewhere. I know it. I know there's a bad guy somewhere that he's gonna kill me. And I'm thinking this thought every week. And so I open the garage door and I go in real fast looking to make sure no one's gonna kill me, and I get myself to like the very back wall. Because another part of my sick, fearful mind thinks the bad guy was just waiting for me to close the garage door so he could sneak in and then kill all of us at the same time, right? This is my mentality. So I click the garage door, which it's totally black, and I watch to make sure the bad guy does not come in the garage. Now I am at total pitch black in the garage all by myself. And this is where my panic attack began on a regular basis. I would open the door, jump through, then take the door, slam it and lock it, and have instant relief. Like this happened to me over and over and over again. And it's a great picture of what the disciples, this is what's going on with them. They are in their mind thinking, we are going to die. We have just been with Jesus. He's done miracles and all that stuff. But now we're on the lake. And now he's asleep. He doesn't care about us. I don't know what he's doing. Somebody maybe, you know, like gave him like a Tylenol PM or something because he is not doing what he needs to be doing. He should be awake. He should be helping us. He should be doing all, like the disciples are having all this crazy, crazy thoughts. And they wake him up. And it's interesting, when they wake him up, Jesus asks like a very penetrating question in verse 40. And I think he would ask us the same thing today. In verse 40, it says this, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You see, it's interesting, like Jesus knew everything that was going on. Just like in your life today, Jesus knows what's going on. He knows what's happening with your job. He knows what's happening with your family. He knows what's happening, you know, with your health. Like he knows the storm that's in your life. And yet he still looks at you and says, why are you so fearful? What's going on? Well, why are you being fearful? Why are you giving in to that mentality? And you could say the same thing that maybe the disciples said. The disciples probably said, well, just letting you know, it's Hurricane Katrina right here. You know, it is crazy. The waves are up. Water's coming into the boat. I don't know how to swim. There's one life jacket, so that means like a bunch of us are gonna die. That's why I'm freaking out. Or you might say, well, hey, this feels like so uncomfortable. My life, my marriage, what's going on right now? Like, I hate the way it feels. It's super rocky. I don't feel like I can make it. I don't feel like I can survive in this situation. But there is an X factor in the whole story. And it's an X factor that the disciples didn't realize. But I think Jesus is able to explain it. It's like this. Hey, remember like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Remember him? Remember like the creator of the heavens of the earth? Like, do you remember? Like, he's right there in the boat with you. Like the one that is able to defeat all the power of the enemy, that's overcome addiction and disease and depression and anxiety and all fear, the one that's destroyed every single power of the enemy. Like, he is right there in your boat. And when he woke up, he said, "Peace, be still." Pew! San Diego, right? Hurricane Katrina just turns into San Diego. There is calm. There is peace. The winds stop. The raging seas cease. Jesus is right there in the boat. And sometimes it's just a good reminder for us to know, okay, no matter how bad things look on the outside, the very fact that Jesus is here, Jesus is in my life, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior, I know I can make it through, because the most powerful person, the baddest dude in all creation is my Lord, my Savior, and we're gonna get through it. I love what Isaiah 41:10 says and just kind of how he says it. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And when that big storm in your life starts to hit you, this is a great verse just to pull off and say, no. Jesus is in my boat. Jesus is right here. I am with him. He is with me. He will help me. He will strengthen me. He is actually strengthening me right now. I don't feel strong, but guess what? God, you are strong, and my strength is found in you. This past week, we took our family to a camp, and during this camp, there was like a high ropes course, and there's two different levels of this high ropes course. One level was like 10 feet above ground, and another one was like 20 feet up. And it's kind of like this thing where like American Ninja Warrior has a baby with fear factor, and it's kind of like what this thing is. And at the very end, there's like a mile long zip line. And you know, I'm just asking my kids, hey, do you want to do this? Because I know if they say yes, I have to do it. You don't have to. You want to go to the pool? You want to, go swim? Like they want to do it. I'm like, okay. So we get through like the first level. And my son, who's 8, and my daughter, who's 10, they both get through it. And Jonathan is like, yeah, I'm done. I'm good to go. I'm like, great. Hey, Brooklyn, what about you? And she's like, no, I wanna keep going. I'm like, of course you do. Yeah. So we're going. I mean, we are going up this 20-foot deal. And we keep doing these obstacles after obstacles after obstacles. And, you know, Brooklyn is looking at the zip line at the end, and she's having these, like, moments of breakdown. I mean, she's having these moments where I can see that, like, fear is, like, getting in there. And she's afraid, and she's nervous, and she's crying, and then she regains, and then she's crying, and then she regains. But we keep getting through it. And I thought it was very interesting that all the things that required, like, physical strength and required, like, stuff for her to do in the natural, she was fine doing that. But zipline, all you had to do was like sit down and lean. Like you didn't have to step. All you had to do was just kind of like lean, and then you'd go all the way down. And I think sometimes in our spiritual life, the thing that only requires us to have faith and believe God's word and to trust in him, sometimes that is way harder than anything where we have to like do things with our hands and do things in our physical strength. Like sometimes the hardest thing for us is just to say, God, I trust you. I trust your ways. I trust you. I will believe you. I will worship you. I will praise you. I do not understand what's happening. I do not like what's happening. But even in that, I will worship you. I will praise you. I will honor you. So we get to the end, and all that's left is the zip line. And Brooklyn has decided that she is gonna go do it. And I'm like, okay. She's like, but I'm so thirsty. I kinda want to get a drink of water. I'm like, well, if you get a drink of water, you're gonna have to go all the way down those steps, and then you're gonna have to come back. And I'm like, are you gonna do it? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So she goes all the way down the ladder, or all the way down the steps by herself, and she goes over and she gets a drink of water. Now, I didn't know this, but she has another, like, little moment. Like, she starts crying again. And there's a bunch of families around and everything, and there's this dad over there, and his name's Brett, and he comes up to her, and he says, "Hey, are you okay? Are you all right? Hey, if you're scared, you don't have to do it. You don't have to go back up. Hey, we want to make sure you're safe and you're okay. Like, you know, you don't have to do that if you don't want to." And Brooklyn has tears, and like, she wipes her face and looks through her tears, and she just looks at him and says, "You don't know my daddy." And then she turns and she goes all the way back up, and we go down the zip line together. Now, okay, she could have been saying, "There's no way my dad's gonna let me get out of this one. Like, my dad is gonna make sure that I do." Okay, she could, and that's probably fair. Now, she also could have been saying, "My dad's with me. My dad's right there. I trust in him. He's not gonna let me be alone. He's not gonna let me give in to fear." Like, she could have been saying that. And sometimes we need to be saying that even if we are feeling like this. We need to be saying, "God, you are with me. You are not going to let me be alone. Like, I am not afraid. I'm not giving in. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to do what you say, even when I don't feel like doing it." That's what we can say. You know, there's this guy named Paul Horton that lives in Austin. And Paul had this awesome golden retriever named Yogi, okay? Yogi, golden retriever, and Paul. And they used to go on these like bike rides, and one day they're out bike riding around Austin, Texas, and Paul had a bad wreck, and actually it was so bad that he went over the front of the handlebars and hit his head on a rock and went unconscious. And when he came to consciousness, Yogi was right there. And he looked at Yogi and goes, "Go get some help. Yogi, go right now. Go get some help. Go get help, Yogi. Go." And then he passed out again. And Yogi goes back up to like where the main area is, and he starts going ballistic. He starts barking. He starts going crazy. And some of Paul's neighbors saw that Yogi was acting strange and decided to follow him. And he follows Yogi back down to like the scene of the accident. And doctors had found out that his vertebrae had like pinched his spinal cord, and so Paul was paralyzed from the chest down. And the doctor said the thing that saved him was the fact that Yogi went to go get help, and we got some help in there. Otherwise, Paul would be dead. And the thing I like about that story is Yogi, in the middle of chaos, a dog, a golden retriever, still listened to his master's words. And even when chaos is filling your life and it's filling your home, and even when you feel this chaotic thing happening all around you and you don't understand, why is this happening? What is happening? God, I don't see a way out. I don't see an answer. If you can make yourself lock in to the master's words, lock in to the words of God, lock in to the fact that "Fear not, for I am with you. I will help you. I will hold you. I will strengthen you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." If you can lock in to the master's words, I believe that's when peace will come. That's when you'll stand strong, and that's when you'll move through that storm. You see, in Psalms 23, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." There's movement through the valley of the shadow of death. They're not like buying real estate there, like setting up homes and like thinking about how they can like, you know, flip houses in the valley. Like, no, they're not thinking that. They're thinking we're moving through it. So whatever storm you're in right now, like, I would encourage you, listen, God's gonna help you move through it. There is another chapter, there is another verse, there is another season of life where God has good things for us all. But like, we have to learn how to listen to the master's words above any other words. As I close this morning, there's one other lady that we met at this camp, and it's this lady that's a bright, exuberant, like full of life lady, and her name was Meredith. And we were talking to her, and we were like, "Hey, what's your story? Like, tell us a little bit about what you're all about, you know, why you're here, what's happening, that kind of thing." And Meredith is like, "Well, a few years ago, Mike and I got married, and man, we had the rockiest relationship." She's like, "We couldn't stand each other. And God really spoke to each of us about focusing ourselves on growing closer to God. So instead of, you know, fighting back and forth and saying, 'You need to change this,' or 'You need to change this,' or 'You need to do that,' they both said, 'Okay, we're just gonna focus on God.'" And she said, as we began to focus on the Lord, it's like God began to do a work in us, and our marriage was restored. Our lives were better. Like, we got strong in the Lord. The Lord enabled them to have two beautiful little girls. And she says, she kept saying, it was like God parted the Red Sea for us. She kept using that phrase over and over again. She went on, though, and saying, Mike had some, like, pain in his stomach. And he went to go see the doctor. This was, you know, a couple months later or whatever. And they found out that he had stage 4 intestinal cancer. And sadly, about a little over a year later, like, he passed away and he went to be with the Lord. And I'm looking at her and I'm asking, like, how did you get through that? Like, how did you have the strength to get through that massive of a storm? And she said two things that I'll always remember. She said, there's no way I could have been mad at God after he had parted the Red Sea for me. And she was talking about how God had done so much for her. God had done so many things. God had done miracle after miracle after miracle that even when something didn't work out the way she wanted, there's no way that she could be mad at him. And I thought, man, I want to be like that. I want to thank God and honor him, and I want to remember how faithful he has been, even when I'm in the middle of something that I don't want to be in. And I think that's something all of us can do, is start to remember the things that God's done and thank him and praise him and worship him, even when we're in something we don't want to be in. And the second thing she said was, like, there's a verse that God gave me. And I believe this with all my heart, that no matter what season you're in, if you ask the Lord, he will give you a word, he will give you strength, he'll give you something that you can stand on, that you can lean on, that you can say, listen, I know that I know the word of God is true, and this is the word that he gave me. He spoke a word to her out of Psalms 27, and I want to show you a couple verses before the verse that she got. So this is Psalms 27, verses 1-3. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. And now here's the verse that God spoke to Meredith. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I was looking at this woman that in my mind had lost almost like the most important thing, gone through the biggest storm that anyone could go through. And I could see strength, and I could see life, and I could see the love of God, and I could see hope, and I could see faith. And it made me realize that no matter what is going on in our life, we have a Savior that's stronger, that's bigger, that's greater. We have one that will come alongside of us and redeem us. We have one that can restore and rebuild. We have one that cares so much about us and loves us so passionately that no matter what is going on, if we turn to him, he will be our help, he'll be our comfort, and he will help us stand even through the toughest of storms. Let me pray for you as we close this morning. Father, today I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're real. I thank you that you're true. God, I thank you that all of us, no matter what we're going through, God, you are our source. You are our help. You are the light of our life. And so, Lord, in a congregation like this, Lord, I believe that there's people that they want to come back to you. They want to serve you. They want to make a decision today to say, Jesus, you are going to be my Lord. You are going to be my Savior. You are going to be the one that I look to and I lean on. Lord, you are the Lord of my life. And if you're here this morning and you've gotten away from God, or even if you've never done that before, I want to do something very simple. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up or come to the front. I just want to say a prayer with you. And if you're here and you're saying, you know what, I need to get God to be the first place in my life. I need to serve him, love him. I want to pray with you. If that's you, do me a quick favor. Just raise your hand and say, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Good, good. We're going to do exactly that. We're going to pray. Good, good. Good, good. Yep. Okay, we're going to do exactly what we said. You can put your hands down. Let's have our whole congregation join together in this prayer. Just repeat after me. Say, dear God, I know that mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for all my sins. and God raised you from the dead. And right now, I confess that you're my Lord and you're my Savior. That you're the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, I thank you that we can celebrate new life. I thank you, God, that your mercy is new every single day. God, I thank you that we are clean and we are whole because of what you've done for us on the cross. God, we praise you and love you. And God, I thank you that as we are moving through life and moving through storms, you are present. You are right there with us. God, we can lean on you and find strength in you. God, we worship you today and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.